if you know your Bible well, you will know that Matthew foreshortens the story of this man being lowered through the roof. It's a favourite story. We remember it from days of old when we were in Sunday school. I can remember being given the task of drawing a picture. Draw a picture, they said, after they'd told the story. And that's what I attempted to do. But Matthew has far more detail. He tells us about the four men. He tells us about them not being able to get into the house where Jesus is teaching, having to climb up onto the roof, break a hole in the roof, and then lower Jesus down. Matthew misses out most of that because Matthew wants us to know one important fact. And it's not in the details of what took place. It's the authority of Jesus to forgive sin. That's what he wants us to know. And that's why he cuts to the chase and makes sure that that's what we know. Now, in this situation, you can imagine, well, I think you can imagine some of it. I don't know how good your imagination is. Could you imagine being in, well, a building with a roof not much higher than probably the top of my head, when suddenly someone breaks in through the roof and then lowers this man down at the feet of Jesus? That takes a bit of imagination, doesn't it? Because we're not used to that kind of thing. Well, I don't think they were used to that kind of thing either. But here it is, it takes place, and the house is full of people, so they would have all had to squash back to let this bed be lowered down with this poor creature on it. And in the crowd there are the religious leaders of the day. They've come to hear what Jesus has got to say. They're checking up on him, really. They want to see if there's anything that they can find to bring an accusation against him. And it seems that Jesus plays into their hands, because he turns to this man and he says, "Your sins are forgiven you." Now, the Pharisees, the religious leaders, don't say a word, but they think it. And the interesting thing is that Jesus knows exactly what they're thinking, just as he knows what we're thinking. That's a bit disconcerting, isn't it? But it's true. He knows everything about us. And he knew that what these religious leaders were thinking, aha, here is a case that Jesus cannot deal with. He cannot cure this man. He cannot make him get up and walk. And so, not as it were to lose faith, he turns round to the man and says, "Your sins are forgiven you." He went for the easy option, you see. That's what they were thinking. They were also thinking, how dare he pronounce that this man's sins are forgiven? There is only one person that can do that, and that is, of course, God Almighty. That's what they were thinking, and that's why they said, he's speaking blasphemy. Now, if it were true that Jesus could not have healed this man and he went for the easy option, then they were true. It was blasphemous. It's interesting, Jesus says, why do you think evil thoughts? Why do you think I can't do it? Why do you think I've gone for the easy option here? He says, which is easier? Do you think it's easy to say your sins are forgiven you, or to say get up and walk? I wonder if that question had been posed to us, what would our answer be? Well, maybe we might think the easy thing, of course, is to say your sins are forgiven. Anyone can say it. It's a different thing saying to this man, get up and walk, and he gets up and walks. That's a difficult one, isn't it? Of course, the real question here, and it's the question that Matthew is trying to bring out, is, does Jesus have the authority to forgive sin? Matthew wasn't concerned too much about whether Jesus could heal this man. He knew that Jesus could heal this man because he had seen Jesus do other miracles of healing. So that wasn't a question for him. But Jesus is revealing something else about himself here. The real question is, what authority does Jesus have to forgive sins? Is it because he is God's Son? On that ground, does God give him this authority? Can he do it because he has a special relationship with God, and therefore, in a sense, it's all down to God's whim? Would that be just? I don't think it was. Matthew, we need to realize, is writing this gospel years later. He's not with his pen in hand watching the whole scenario take place and making copious notes. No, years later, he sat down somewhere and he's remembering. But he's writing the story after the crucifixion. He's writing the story after the resurrection. He's writing the story after the ascension. He's writing the story after the coming of the Holy Spirit. And he is telling us that Jesus has the authority to forgive sins, not because of who he is so much as because of what he has done. On the cross, Jesus died for us to set us free from our forgiveness. And so, Jesus, Matthew knows full well what the authority of Jesus is based on. And what we have here is Jesus offering this man the forgiveness of sins. But just a minute, Wilf, Jesus has got to go to the cross to achieve the forgiveness of sins. Yes, that's true. But Jesus is saying that, knowing that this is going to happen, knowing what he's going to do. He's speaking prospectively, looking forward to his death. If we were to turn to Romans chapter 3 and verses 21 to 26, and I'm reading from what is now classed as the Message, Paul writes this: what Moses and the prophets witnessed to all to all those years has happened. The God setting things right that we read about has become Jesus setting things right for us. And not only for us, but for everyone who believes in him. For there is no difference between us and them in this. Since we've compiled this long and sorry record of sinners, both us and them, and proved that we are utterly incapable of living a glorious life that God wills for us, God has done it for us. Out of sheer generosity, he has put us in right standing with himself, a pure gift. He got us out of the mess we're in and restored us to where he always wanted us to be. And he did this by the means of Jesus Christ. God sacrificed Jesus on the altar of the world to clear that world of sin. Having faith in him sets us in the clear. God decided on this course of action in full view of the public to set the world in the clear with himself through the sacrifice of Jesus, finally taking care of the sins he had so patiently endured. This is not only clear, but it is now. This is current history. God sets things right. He also makes it possible for us to live in his rightness. Jesus can and still does forgive sins. It's easy, in a sense, for us to be able to say yes to our forgiveness of sins. How easy was it for Jesus to bring about that course of events? It was the most costly thing in the world. It was the most costly thing for Jesus himself, for he had to sacrifice his life. It was the most costly thing for God the Father to stand by and witness his one and only Son die upon that cross. But in that death came our forgiveness. That's where the authority of Jesus lay. His authority still rests today upon his death and resurrection. That's why he could say, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." Because he knew what he was going to do and what he was going to accomplish upon the cross and upon his resurrection. Friends, that's why Jesus today can forgive our sins completely. You see, it doesn't depend on whether we go to church or whether we live a good life. It depends upon what Jesus has actually done for us. We might ask the question then, is it therefore automatic? We're all forgiven. Well, in one sense, yes. We are all potentially forgiven. But to receive that forgiveness, the forgiveness that Jesus has gained for us, we need to believe. We need to repent. We need to put our faith and trust in that act upon the cross. That's where faith comes in. It's the belief that he can, that he will, that he has forgiven us. In the story of Matthew, Jesus goes on to say, "But now that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he then turns to the paralytic and says, "Get up, take up your mat and walk." And we're told that the man got up and went home. Jesus said to them, "You want proof that I can forgive sin? Get up and walk." And he did. And what does it tell us? It tells us that when the crowd saw this, they were filled with awe, and they praised God that he'd given such authority to men. Now, when I read that, there is a sense that I feel that the crowd didn't really get it. They got part of it, but it wasn't that God had given such authority to men, but that God had given such authority to this man, Jesus, his son. When we put our trust in what Jesus has done for us, just as that man knew he was healed, so we can know that we are forgiven and that we're restored into a right relationship with our Heavenly Father. Isn't that something wonderful to experience and to know? And if you're doubting, if you're wondering whether you could know that, then friends, look at that cross. Look what it tells you. Look at the lives of Christians down through the ages that have witnessed to the transforming life of Jesus. All made possible for you and for me through the cross of Jesus Christ. He healed a paralytic. He wants to heal each one of you of our sins. May we know that forgiveness. May we know that peace. May we know that joy. Amen.